So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
Freedom?
Hello everyone and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the TFR radio network from a cabin high atop a mountain ridge somewhere in Appalachia. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. Hey folks, it is Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings, and today I want to talk to you about the catastrophic failures of the Democratic Party. They have been failing miserably ever since Trump was elected. It started with the landslide loss of Hillary Rotten Clinton, and it has continued to spiral downhill for them ever since. Now, last week, the Hispanics, the Latinos, let's face it, the mestizos, took a day when they decided to pretty much boycott the United States to prove how valuable they are to our society. And society didn't even blink. It went on as normal. And in fact, in many ways, it actually improved. If you live in a major city or near a major city with a huge influx of Latinos from Mexico and further south, you probably noticed that on that particular day, you could actually maneuver through traffic. There weren't a whole bunch of vans and minivans and pickup trucks with ladders tied to the roof. If your job brings you into subdivisions, perhaps you noticed there weren't that many landscapers there. There weren't that many people working on houses. You could maneuver around. Now, in my case, I have a couple of paper routes that I do during the week. It's nothing major. It's not for a major paper. It's for one of those small independent community newspapers. So I don't have to get them done before 6 o'clock in the morning like most drivers do. I do them during the day. And it was beautiful. There were no landscapers parked in front of the tubes. As I got into the sections that were under construction, there were no trucks in the way. There were no trucks laying down fiber optic cable for Google or AT&T or any of these other companies that are all predominantly trucked in with Texas tags on them. It was beautiful, folks. So that day didn't hurt me at all. In fact, it actually made my day a lot easier and a lot better because to and from my routes, I could actually navigate through traffic. So they didn't hurt us. Those that really needed the jobs were still there at McDonald's to fix my lunch. But they did hurt themselves. Number one, they hurt themselves by staying home, so they didn't get the paycheck. And number two, it was a lot of what they call Latino businesses that are owned by these mestizos that come here and set up shop. Now, a big one is Campari Foods. Now, I always thought it was Compare Foods. I didn't realize that it was Latin-owned until this Latin strike last week. And apparently, it's not just local here in the Carolinas. It is up north also. Any place where you have a huge Latino influx, they have these cheap-ass supermarkets called Campari Foods. So it down here in the south, it's all Mexicans and mestizos. Up north, it's Puerto Ricans. In California, you have more than Mexicans. I don't know if they have them in Florida. I'm sure that if they did, that would be overwhelmingly Cubans. So they shut down completely. Their doors were closed. Now, who shops at these Latin-owned supermarkets? Well, I mean, that's like saying who shops at Oriental supermarkets? Who shops at Indian supermarkets? Their own kind. So these dumbasses closed their doors, I think it was last Tuesday, for business. So they didn't make any money. The people that stayed home from work didn't make any money. And even though they were home from work, they couldn't go grocery shopping because their home businesses were closed. So they hurt no one but themselves with this. It's just stupid. And that just shows you the mentality of these people, of these lower class people. It's the same mentality of the people who are rioting over Donald Trump. They're a bunch of mindless idiots. They're mostly Democrats. I'd say 99.99999% of them are Democrats, obviously. Progressives, liberals. They're idiots. They have no clue how society actually works. And they think that by getting out there and being the wheel that makes a lot of noise, that it's going to get the grease. And for a while that did happen, but it's not happening like it used to, and it's going to cease to happen very soon. It's going to lessen more and more. The more they scream and yell, they used to get things done. Now, the more they scream and yell, the more we're going to turn a deaf ear on them. And when something does really go bad, it's going to be like the little boy who cried wolf, and nobody's going to listen, and it will be too late. Now, what else have the Democrats been doing lately that is completely boneheaded? Well, pretty much everything. But let's start out with two of the biggest Democratic boneheads that are out there. Hillary Clinton and Rahm Emanuel. Hillary Clinton has come out and said that the New World Order is going to have not only a face, but a gender, and that it is going to be female. Well, obviously this didn't set too well with a lot of people. Now, Clinton has recently recorded a video for Makers, and I'm not sure what that stands for. It's an acronym for something, but it's some kind of a digital content women's rights platform. And in there, she stated that because of the energy generated from the anti-Trump Women's March, the future world power structure will now become female. Yeah, right. As if she didn't learn her lesson enough on election night when the glass ceiling was not smashed because she rose through it, but because it dropped on her pointed little head. So here's what she had to say. Breitbart reported this. She actually said this. This is the report on her remarks. Hillary Clinton recorded a message for the women's rights campaign group Makers, in which she praised the amazing energy, hallelujah, of January's anti-Trump Women's March while declaring that the future is female. Despite all the challenges we face, I remain convinced that, yes, the future is female. Just look at the amazing energy we saw as women organized a march that galvanized millions of people all over our country and across the world, Hillary said. The Women's March, which took place the day after Donald Trump's inauguration, saw thousands of activists take to the streets to protest Trump's presidency, including celebrities such as singer Madonna, filmmaker Michael Moore, and actress Scarlett Johansson. Yeah, that's the cream of the crop for scumbags there. So please, set an example for every woman and girl out there who is worried about what the future holds and wonders whether our rights, actually it says outrights, I think it was supposed to be our rights, opportunities and values will endure. And remember, you are the heroes, the history makers, the glass ceiling breakers of the future, she continued. Yeah. Well, Clinton is clearly still under the effects of whatever it was she was smoking and still believes the future of America is tied into identity politics. And this couldn't be further from the truth, folks. I mean, people are tired of the blacks getting everything, screaming and yelling. They're tired of the illegals. They're tired of the Muslims. And yes, they are tired of the feminazis. Now, this divisive rhetoric, which is designed to pit Americans against one another based on the color of their skin, gender, and religion, has created a backlash. And that is what put Donald Trump into office, folks. People were sick and tired of hearing this garbage. Now, Clinton's embrace of identity politics was clearly rejected by the voters because they saw through the Stalinist-style tactics and social justice warriors were employing to bully and silence their opponents. We saw this all the time, and it didn't work. Nothing seems to work on Trump. Everything that's worked on everyone else because they backed down and cowered is not working with this man. He will not go away. But despite her loss, Hillary Clinton is still promoting identity politics as the future world order, and it ain't gonna happen, folks. And specifically, she's telling us that the future world order is female. But we see through this, because this is now creating a war on men, specifically white men. And those are the people who are very, very upset right now and who are taking this country back. Now, as I said, folks, there has been, for the past several decades, a war on men, and particularly a war on white men. Now, Christina Hoff Sommers is a writer for a publication called The Atlantic. I have not heard of this before. But she says that in academics, the playing field has been tilted in favor of girls for a long time. And this is what she has to say on this. Let me just read this for you real quick here, because this is interesting. The research commonly cited to support claims of male privilege and male sinfulness is riddled with errors. Almost none of it has been published in peer-reviewed professional journals. Some of the data turned out to be mysteriously missing. A review of the facts shows boys, not girls, on the weak side of an education gender gap. The typical boy is a year and a half behind the typical girl in reading and writing. He is less committed to school and less likely to go to college. In 1997, college full-time enrollments were 45% male and 55% female. The Department of Education predicts that the proportion of boys in college classes will continue to shrink. Data from the U.S. Department of Education and from several recent university studies show that far from being shy and demoralized, today's girls outshine boys. They get better grades. They have higher educational aspirations. They follow more rigorous academic programs and participate in advanced placement classes at higher rates. And according to the National Center for Education Statistics, more girls than boys enroll in high-level math and science courses. Girls, allegedly timorous and lacking in confidence, now outnumber boys in student government, in honor societies, on school newspapers, and in debating clubs. Only in sports are boys ahead, and women's groups are targeting the sports gap with a vengeance. Girls read more books. They outperform boys on tests for artistic and musical ability. More girls than boys study abroad. More join the Peace Corps. At the same time, more boys than girls are suspended from school. More are held back and more drop out. Boys are 3 times as likely to receive a diagnosis of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. More boys than girls are involved in crime, alcohol, and drugs. Girls attempt suicide more often than boys, but it is boys who have often succeeded. In 1997, a typical year, 4,483 young people aged 5 to 24 committed suicide. That was 701 females and 3,782 males, folks. She brings up very, very good points in this article. Now, Hillary Clinton's prediction that the future is female is a continuation of the social justice warrior agenda that has also now become anti-man. And Trump being elected into office is showing that people are sick and tired of it. By shoving these identity politics down the throats of the American people, this is exactly what led to his election. And these people are still failing to realize this. But if we look at Hillary Clinton's remarks, the left hasn't given up on their social justice-fueled identity politics. They're never going to learn. Will it lead to their demise? One can only hope. Now, Hillary Clinton was the first bonehead. The second is Rahm Emanuel. And I gotta take a break here in a minute or so, folks. So when I come back from that, I want to tell you what Rahm Emanuel has had to say, and some of it may actually surprise you. Now, most of these liberals, these Democrats, these progressives, are idiots. Now, we know that Rahm Emanuel is far from being an idiot. He's a cunning, conniving Jew, and the man is far from stupid, folks. Obviously, we don't like him for his tactics and his beliefs. But the man is not an idiot, at least not mentally. Now, we may consider him an idiot for his actions, but the man is by no means an idiot inside his brain. He knows exactly what he's doing and what he intends to accomplish. And when we get back from the break here, I want you to understand just what exactly it is that is going on inside that head of his. Don't be surprised, folks. I know I kind of was. Stay tuned. I will be back in a couple of minutes.
From now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Georgetown Law Professor Louis Michael Seidman says that the U.S. Constitution is archaic and downright evil. And people like this are teaching in America's law schools? It's frightening. Well, here's your chance to listen to one attorney who stands on principle and fights for the dreams of freedom-loving Americans. Listen to Jason Robb, host of Cross Examine, each week right here on KKK Radio.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. Stranger in a Strange Land by Iron Maiden. Well, that is certainly fitting as a bumper into the continuation of the show. One of my favorite songs of all time, by the way. I absolutely love the combination of the guitar with the MIDI. It's just really, really classic. But getting back to Rahm Emanuel, I told you before the break that some of the things that he said actually shocked me. The man understands what's going on. He is one of the top Democrats, and he has pretty much just conceded defeat, folks. And I want you to understand exactly what's going on with this guy. Now, he is the Chicago mayor right now. I mean, he was on the White House chief of staff, I believe, for a while. I don't remember. It's so far back now. He was one of Clinton's lackeys anyway. Now he is the mayor of Chicago, and he is one of the Democrats' top strategists. Now, he was the mastermind of the candidate recruitment strategy that led to the Democrats seizing control of the House in 2006. He was also Barack Obama's first chief of staff. Okay, I knew chief of staff was in there somewhere. But he gave a message to Democrats about the next election, and folks, they didn't like what he had to say at all. But we love it. You see, the midterm elections pretty much don't end too well for the party in power. We've seen this over the years. Somebody seizes control during the main elections. In the midterms, it always goes back to the other party and balances things out. Now, Bill Clinton lost control of both houses and Congress in his first midterm. And Barry Sotoro suffered two of the worst losses in midterm history in both 2010 and 2014. So obviously the question is Donald Trump and the GOP going to suffer a similar fate in 2018? Well, Rahm Emanuel doesn't seem to think so. And he has told Democrats it's just not in the cards. And here's a report from Breitbart. Emanuel said, 2016, now Democrats are in the lowest level since 1928 in the House of Representatives and the lowest level since 1925 in the state houses. Not really good, and he adds, it's hard to imagine it getting lower. He explained, you got to go out and create a farm team. In 06 and 08, everybody goes, oh, that's when we took back the House. Well, you know, I got a lot of crap for recruiting Iraqi war vets, football players, sheriffs, business people. And I said, well, they're running the Republican districts. And I wanted to take cultural issues off the table, and I wanted to present economic issues. We as Democrats like to walk around ideally. Now, you got to be ruthless, though. We created people, recruited people, who matched the district. If you're running in a Republican district, you got to get at somebody who can win in a Republican district. Winning is everything. You don't win, you can't make the public policy. I say that because it's hard for people in our party to accept that principle. Sometimes you just got to win, okay? Our party likes to be right even if they lose. Well, we're seeing that now after the elections. And he continued, Democrats love doing a fire squad in a circle. Stop that. Don't attack. They're too moderate. Forget about it. Stop it. This guy and these people are about to do something on the tax code, the regulatory environment, and things that are more threatening than what a fellow Democrat might slightly disagree with you on. Stop it. We're not strong enough to do that. And he added, it took us a long time to get this low. It ain't gonna happen in 2018. Take a chill pill, man. You gotta be in this for the long haul. And if you think it's going to be a quick turnaround like that, it's not. I told you it was going to surprise you. I really did not expect him to concede this. But since he has, that's very telling, folks. You know, the Democrats are looking at a really difficult strategy on the Senate map as well. Now, they only need to win 3 seats to put Chuck Schumer in as majority leader. But the Democrats also need to defend 23 seats, which include 10 in states that Donald Trump won in 2016. So it's not going to be easy. And some pundits are predicting the GOP could capture enough seats to hold a filibuster-proof majority starting in 2019. This is huge, folks. Holding on to the seats in the states that Trump won could prove even more difficult than previously thought for the Democrats. Their base has just become completely unglued and unhinged, folks. The door is falling off the jamb. Now, they're demanding 100% resistance to the Trump agenda, and that, too, is stupid. They've got to work with this man to get anywhere. Now, while they deny, are trying to deny Trump, any support that may help the red state Democrats ward off a primary challenge, fighting Trump on priorities such as the National Right to Work Act, legislation to stop illegal immigration, repealing Obamacare and tax cuts, yada, 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 while all the time still paying homage to their brand of identity politics, again, this word comes in, could doom them with even more conservative and working class votes. Folks, I'm telling you, this is huge. Okay? It's been a long time in coming, and quite frankly, I'm glad that it's here. Now, while doing research for that last little bit, folks, I came across this little snippet here that says that Megyn Kelly's bombshell secret exposed by NBC. What is that? That she's not a real blonde? Obviously, that's not a bombshell. But what caught my attention was another article here. Let me just click on here real quick. Kellyanne Conway's IQ will leave you speechless. So I went ahead and clicked on that, and folks, it's got a list of celebrity IQs here, and I don't know how many there actually are here. I'm going to go through several of these, see how far I get before the end of the show. Bill Clinton has an IQ of 156. I had no clue whatsoever. Aisha Taylor at 156, never heard of her. She's some light-skinned black chick. Maybe you've heard of her. I sure haven't. Alicia Keys, 154. I mean, this is blowing me away. I mean, I thought mine was high at 138, and it is. But, wow, anytime you get over, well, okay. Arnold Schwarzenegger at 135, so I'm smarter than Arnold. At least we have it there. Some of these. Ashton Kutcher, 160. No wonder he's getting far in Hollywood. Wow. Shannon Doherty, 137, one below me. Cute and brains, too. Some of these are just absolutely incredible, folks. Asia Carrera, 156. George, wasn't she a porn star, I think? Or maybe I'm confusing her with somebody else. I don't know. Anyway, it's amazing. Ben Stein, 150, another Jew. A lot of these seem to be blacks and Jews for some reason. And actually, they're not blacks. They're not full blacks. They are light-skinned. Bill Gates, 180. That really doesn't shock me, the stuff that this man has come up with. Cindy Crawford has an IQ of 154. That does shock me. Colin Firth, never heard of him. Maybe you have. He's got an IQ of 160. Conan O'Brien also has an IQ of 160. Some of these people are just really out there. Dolph Lundgren has an IQ of 160. That really doesn't surprise me because the man speaks five languages. I did know that he was a genius. Emma Watson has an IQ of 138. Gary Kasparov at 190. Have no idea who he is. Sounds to me like a Russian Jew, but at an IQ close to 200, that is amazing. Gina Davis has an IQ of 140. George H.W. Bush has an IQ of 130. That surprises me because someone in his position I would have thought was a lot higher than that. Hillary Clinton only surpasses me by two at 140. And I wonder when these IQ tests were taken, because mine was taken when I was in fifth grade, and I've learned a hell of a lot more since then, so it's probably even higher now. James Franco has an IQ of 130. James Woods, the actor, has an IQ of 180 that rivals Bill Gates's. Jodie Foster has an IQ of 132. Jordana Brewster has an IQ of 130. I don't know who she is. She's kind of good-looking, kind of gaunt-looking, but still pretty good IQ. Goes with her looks. Kate Beckinsale, actor, 160. Some of these, you know, you're going, wow, really, I hope this isn't their weight, but this is their IQs. Ken Jeong has an IQ of 130. I would have never, I think that's when I was young, isn't it, George? Ken Jeong? Yeah. Somebody named Keisha, some bottle blonde here with a lot of mascara, has an IQ of 140. Kevin Spacey has an IQ of 137. Does not surprise me. That man is a phenomenal actor. The Jew lock, Lisa Kudrow, which I'm sure is short for Kudrowski, has an IQ of 154. That really blows me away, considering the parts that she always plays on TV. Actor Matt Damon has an IQ of 160. Mayim Bialik has an IQ of 163. That's the long-nosed Jewish that played Blossom back in the 80s. Who else do we have here? Meryl Streep, one of our favorite Marxists, has an IQ of 143. Now notice that most of these, Natalie Portman, 140. These are mostly Jews. They're all, for the most part, liberals. I've seen very few conservatives here. So this is a result of going through our functionalized learning institution centers, commonly known as public schools and universities. Stephen Hawking has an IQ of 160. I would have thought it was much higher than that. Barry Sotaro, a.k.a. Barack Hussein Obama, has an IQ of 141. I don't believe it. Must be the white side. Donald Trump has an IQ of 156. Man is brilliant. He doesn't act it, but he is. Tyra Banks has an IQ of 120, which is very low on the genius scale here, because it actually is not even qualifying as genius. It is slightly above average, but not by more. Madonna has an IQ of 140. That does surprise me, considering the way that she started out and what she ended up getting into. Shakira has an IQ of 140. Not really sure what she is, but she's not white, even with all that blonde hair. Shaquille O'Neal has an IQ of 120. Now, for a complete black man, that is a genius IQ for them. Tarantino has an IQ of 160. Man is smart, but he's also a lunatic. Sharon Stone has an IQ of 148. And, oh my goodness, I am, wow, I've not been paying attention here. Yeah, now I see you waving your paws around, George. Folks, I am out of time. Cannot continue this. That was amazing, though. But let me leave off here at this point. If you want to get in touch with me, as always, you may do so at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. If there's anything you want me to cover, please let me know, and I'll be more than happy to look into it for you. So until next week, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.